Oh, I love it. I do love it when you come into the studio, Joel. This is our second Joel's joint. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you very much.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's been a bit of a gap, actually, because we were hoping to knock them out like every week, but between you
and me... We're both busy.
Been very busy, haven't we? Yeah. So where have you been?
I've been in Switzerland for a few days, which was lovely. In Basel, actually. And I was invited by a lovely couple who run a radio show called Living Room FM.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I've heard about that.
Which they hold from, like, an Italian, kind of swanky Italian restaurant. And in between courses, they interview you, and then you get to play records.
And the club's downstairs, isn't it?
No, there isn't a club there.
Bar,
yeah, it's like a bar. Yeah. And they have, you know, and they have speakers outside and stuff. And they were promoting, like, their second anniversary. No, their second compilation album. And then they had a club on the Saturday, and I played with Frank from Am.
Oh, yeah.
Who I never met before. He's a lovely guy. Mm. And in between...
So was it a kind of techie affair?
Kind of more house music based, yeah. But their album kind of wasn't. The album was, there we go, glitch again. Is it me? The album is a lot more kind of chilled, kind of more down tempo. There's like a Radiohead track on there. There's a Quiet Village track on there. There's Toby Tobias. There's a few different things, yeah. But it's very well put together. And there's little snippets of dialogue. Toby's on it. Sinbad's on it.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He's on everything.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does get around. He's in Brazil at the moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. But I know that when he went to America last year, he just decided to go. And the next thing, he was producing Questlove's sister. And that all happened, like, at a party.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way to do music, isn't it?
I think so.
Open.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never do that. I just have to prepare myself months in advance. But I think that sort of feeling of just being able to switch your life and just decide to stay somewhere for a few weeks is quite nice, isn't it? It's not the kind of thing you can do at a certain age, though, is it? You've got to be young for that. Younger. Do you find that? How much sort of freedom have you got in, like, okay... Right, that's it. I'm going to just go to Puerto Rico for a week because I feel like it today. Or have you got too many responsibilities?
I've got a lot of commitments. You know, I work for DeWolf, so that's kind of a big commitment. I might be working for another film company, putting together some soundtracks for them. I've got my own stuff going on. But, you know, I suppose I could kind of work out of any country at the moment just because of the internet, really. But, you know, and I'm not married or anything at the moment, so I haven't got anything tying me down. I've just got family and friends here.
Fine.
Sorry?
Phone. Have you got your phone off?
Yeah, not mine.
Glitching. Glitching.
Is there a phone going off?
I could hear a click.
Okay. There's always ghosts in the machine here. Here we go. There we go again.
No, it's good. It sounds great. You sound brilliant.
So yeah, and I got the chance to do a little bit of digging. In, yeah. I got they thought I was crazy. I got up at like 7 in the morning on my day off and went to Bern for the day.
Switzerland's a strange place, isn't it?
In what way?
No, love it. I mean, I've got a Swiss passport, yeah. But for a small country, already there's such a huge difference between the French part and the German part.
Yeah, very much.
And then the Italian part is almost as small as, like, South London.
Yeah.
Lugano. That's it, right? No one really knows about the Italian side, apart from Steve Reed, who lives there.
Steve Reed lives there?
He lives in Lugano.
Ah,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he lives there. Every now and again, I get a phone call when he's, like, just chilling out by the lake, which is great. I can imagine it. And But Swiss German, Zurich, Bern, Basel... really sophisticated part of the world, isn't it? People are so... I always find that, you know, if you go to the clubs or you art galleries, or it's just 20% higher kind of... do you know what I mean?
Zurich is meant to be... isn't it meant to be the place with... I think Zurich is like number two for like quality of life in the whole world, you know, living standards.
As long as you earn like shitloads.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I always find this time, especially because I got to spend a few days there, that the people are unbelievably laid back. I mean, they're just so friendly and warm and welcoming. You know, everyone I met, they're just smiling, and you never... it's something quite unusual to be if you're a Londoner.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's kind of grimacing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've always really liked it there. I've kind of been going there for a few... for like, you know, I first went there about 10 years ago on a little record trip. And it was interesting to see...
good record shops there.
Oh, man. And the great thing about them is that the stores, they don't sell online. So you're looking at this kind of like untouched stock, really. Obviously, you know, it's there are people digging for records more and more now because of the information's out there. But, you know, there's always a chance of finding something interesting. And you know, we all love that Euro stuff.
Yeah, and you're more likely as well, I find, when you go to somewhere like Switzerland. I was in Geneva the weekend and I played in a club called Lusine. And the next morning I had to get a train to Paris. So I was sort of hanging around the station and just went for a little walk because I had a little waiting time. And in the back streets of Geneva, near the station, I saw this record shop. And I can't remember the name of it, but it's really close to the station. There aren't many. And it was amazing. But unfortunately, I didn't have enough time.
Oh, you know. Man.
But they had things like, I can't... They just had some really rare stuff and European stuff in there. But I needed time to go through it and listen to it.
Yeah.
But I will go back there. But next door to the record shop, there was a toy shop, which was owned by this really old bloke who should have been in a sort of retirement home, really. And I walked in because I was looking for some N-gauge railway stuff for Ollie, my elder boy, who's into his N-gauge.
Oh, nice.
European N-gauge as
well. Of course,
well.
It has to be.
Merklin Fleischmann. And anyway, I went in there thinking, well, maybe he's got some stuff. And literally, this shop's been there since 1949.
Wow.
And it was full of these little nooks and crannies and little corridors, and it was like the ultimate toy shop with some toys in their boxes.
Hadn't been touched since the time.
Since like the 60s or something. I mean, I didn't have enough time.
You find that in Europe. You don't get it here anymore. You really don't get it here anymore.
Don't get it.
Europe has it all.
Yeah. And I got four CFF silver coaches from sort of the 1980s for €50, which actually is really cheap for N-gauge.
I was going to say, it sounds really reasonable.
Yeah, because they can kind of be quite a lot more. So vinyl, N-gauge trucks.
But the guy selling, like, there's a shop in Zurich. Because I went to Bern one day and then I went to Zurich the next day and they thought I was even more of a lunatic because I was playing on the Saturday night and I got the train both days. It was great, you know. And, you know, because it's only an hour. Both cities are only an hour away from Basel.
Did you get the train to Switzerland?
No, that would have been very Ypres-far, wouldn't it? No, I got the British Airways. Yeah. I was flying the flag.
Old school.
And then, but no, the great thing, it's not, you know, like, it's different from shops over here. You go to a record shop there and they sell art books, you know, old books on graphic design. And this guy had old, like, bubblegum stickers, like Kojak stickers, like even the original boxes from the time. Not that I would buy them, but I remember them as a kid and it's like just everything about nostalgia.
Yeah.
So yeah, and you wonder how they make any money. If they don't sell online and hardly anyone was in the shop with me, you wonder how they're kind of doing it. But I suppose, you know, it's the presence and maybe, you know, producers from other countries. I know Americans and Europeans always visit them. So, but it's just nice that they're still there, really, because it's something that the guy in Bern couldn't understand. That when I told him that there's nothing like this in the UK, he couldn't believe me. He said, you know, 25 years ago, London for records was like heaven. And I said, well, that was 25 years ago, you know. But it was, you know, this guy had just moved locations and he told me that it took him a month, 4,000 boxes of records they moved. So mental. Anyway, so I picked up a few things.
Did you?
Yeah.
And have you bought, I mean, you've got a couple of, we're going to do a double dose today, right? Because this is really getting good with you now. You've pulled out two sensational looking records, and I like the fact that they've got a Swiss twist on them in terms of the composer. I mean, before we talk about the records, can you name any great Swiss musicians?
Well, now you're putting me on the spot. I should have made notes. Swiss musicians. Well, there's lots of jazzers, and of course now I'm on the spot, I'm not going to remember any at all. Swiss. Because we're going to play some music to, you know, from George Grunz, but I don't want to say on the record if he was Swiss. He might have been German. I can't guarantee, unless we can look it up.
I think he's Swiss.
I think he's Swiss too.
We don't have a computer in here.
No, we don't.
No, and that's good.
And I don't want to give anyone the wrong information.
Yeah.
Maybe we can...
But George Grunz sounds Swiss. It doesn't sound German to me. I don't know why.
Grunts.
Yeah, it's got that kind of sort of, you know, Swiss German strong.
Yeah.
Slightly from. I don't think Zurich. I think maybe somewhere like Lucerne or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my feeling. Probably
you're
completely
just showing
incorrect.
Off now, aren't you?
Well, no, I don't know. I'm just naming any old town that I can think of with a lake in it. So, what have you got then by George Grunts?
So, well, I kind of thought it was cool to do a little, having just been there, to do a little kind of Swiss connection. And then I came across this record called Les Échanges. And it's a little 7-inch by George Grunts with a guy called Rolf Liebermann, which I don't really know much about. And it's kind of like an experiment in mechanical rhythm with jazz on one side. And the lineup, it's a lovely looking thing, as you can see. It's a photo. I think it's an actual photo of. And the great thing about Switzerland is they had all these. They produced more than kind of any other country. They produced all these kind of, I suppose, promotional only advertising records, and they come in little booklets. So a 7-inch comes in a little book with, you know, an explanation and stuff like that. And this has got a lovely photo of an exhibition of this kind of strange. Set up of typewriters, because the track is called Symphony Les Échanges, which I'm assuming is Symphony. What does Échange mean? Is it typewriters?
The exchange.
So it must be like a typewriter exchange or a mechanical, something like that. And it was like a one-off concert that they recorded especially for this session, and two drummers. Daniel Humer and Pierre Favre on drums, and George Grunts on prepared piano, with 156 typewriters all set up playing a rhythm in unison, all playing a different rhythm in unison. Must have taken forever. If you could see the photo, we'll try and put a photo on the website so you can see. And it should be from the kind of late 60s period. The same period as another record, which we'll play either before or afterwards, which is called From Stixland with Love, Drums and Folklore, again by George Grunts, which is on the classic and collectible Saba label from Germany. And it's just a fantastic, it's a kind of odd record because a lot of it's just kind of, folk drum rhythms. But you've got people like Nathan Davis playing sax on it. And there's a lovely modal track called... Not Springtime Promises, called... Hang on.
It's part of a series, isn't it?
Yeah, the series is the Jazz Meets the World series, which is... I mean, I've got... You know, I'm sure you've got quite a few for me. Yeah, there's one in Japan, there's, you know, with...
Koto.
Yeah. Called Sakura with Hideo Shiraki. There's... the one I really like is Flamenco Jazz, which I'm sure you did, Pedro Turaldo. The track on this is called High Time Keepsakes.
So is Jazz Meets the World, what world, which part of the world?
So this is, Stixland. I'm assuming, Switzerland.
So, yeah. Well,
and it was recorded in Basel.
Have a look at the sleeve notes. Maybe it will give us definite proof that George Grunts is Swiss. It might even say that he's from Lucerne. But there's quite a lot of sleeves, isn't there? You know, what's the difference for you? Because I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me being...
Ah, here
where?
We go. George Grunts, who is a jazz musician and a Basel native.
Basel.
So it all comes together.
Art Centre. And what's the difference between Saba and MPS? Because I love MPS, but Saba, which is sort of a sister label, right? The sleeves seem to be slightly thicker and the vinyls seem to be slightly heavier.
Saba, as far as I know...
That is your phone. Unbelievable.
But it's only vibrating.
I know, but it's coming through the
Oh,
headphones.
You're kidding me. All right, so I'm going to turn it off. Sorry, that was my phone. I'm now going to turn it off.
I don't think it does. I don't know if it does come through on the actual CD, though. It comes through my headphones, but sometimes it goes through, but it doesn't actually make it through to the
recording.
The actual recording. We'll find out.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
As far as I know... I'm not going to laugh because it's going to snap on the mic. It's going to fizz on the mic.
It won't.
Your one doesn't. What's wrong with my one?
I've got the master microphone.
I know. My one's caught in the vortex. So Saba, as far as I know, Saba was the original father company.
Right.
And then MPS came along, and MPS came along, and I suppose was maybe, they're not second presses, but some of them are, like, for example, Flamenco Jazz did come out on Saba. The second press came out on MPS. So that's not as rare and expensive as the one on Saba. So Saba records are more collectible. I think they are the earlier issues. But they are owned by the same company, yes. Yeah.
And they're great.
And they're very hard to come by now.
Yeah.
And everyone knows.
Well,
that
this one I've never seen before. I mean, I've not even seen it, let alone heard it, from Styxland with Love. Love.
I've only ever seen it in Switzerland. I bought my copy in Zurich.
Right. You know the person who did really well out of discovering these record shops in Switzerland and sort of parts of southern Germany was Rainer Truby. Because he was bang in that really early, and he used to come to, that's how I first met him, because he used to deal records before he was DJing.
Oh,
and,
okay, I didn't know.
And he had all these crazy, you know, the Kitty Winter meets MPS type of, you know, European, German fusion and jazz. And he really got in there before, you know, while they were still in those record shops. I remember there was one record shop in Zurich that I went to which had loads of MPSs a few years ago. You'd never see that now.
No, you don't get them at all. There's nothing.
In fact, one of the first records I ever bought, which is probably almost worth another Joel's joint or Giles's joint at another stage, is when I was on holiday in Caen in France, was Liberated Fantasies by George Duke.
Okay.
Which was an MPS record, yeah. Somehow. But I don't understand how.
No, he did a few.
He did a few. He started off on MPS.
Yeah, they're amazing, yeah.
Yeah. And that was a... So, yeah, MPS has had a big effect, really. Best European jazz label, MPS Saba.
I would say, yeah. I mean, they're almost, you know, they're an indie, but they're almost like a major, you know, because they had so much output. The great stuff is fantastic, and then there are a lot of fillers.
Yeah.
But the brilliant ones, like the Jazz Meets the World series, and you know, and some of the others are just.
That's the best jazz label would probably be ECM, wouldn't it?
If
you had to pick one in terms of catalogue, I mean, that's got a great catalogue, but it's quite a small catalogue in comparison to ECM. But then again, ECM's limited.
ECM,
well.
I mean, it's sad, really. I just actually tried to license some music from ECM that was used in a film. And, you know, obviously, I didn't... I've heard through the grapevine that they're very highbrow. I don't know if you've ever had any connections with them.
I know that Jez just interviewed Manfred. Is that Manfred Eichler?
Yeah.
He interviewed him apparently, and he's, you know, as you'd expect.
Yeah, they're very Teutonic, aren't they? And they're very, you know, they obviously believe their material. It's always been a very highbrow label, and not particularly black label, considering that it's a jazz label. There are some fantastic records on there, you know. That's something to discuss another time. But I got in touch with them, and I just got this really curt email back going, you know, I only wanted two tracks to license as a 12-inch. And they just got back to me and said, yes, thank you very much for your interest. We've never licensed any ECM titles for someone else's label ever. Goodbye. And so, you know, I kind of emailed them back and said, well, maybe this is something you should think about doing, you know, about trying to get, you know, the catalogue into a different market maybe. And I explained what I could do, and just no reply.
You've got to love that, though. You've got to love
that. Yeah, you know, but I really wanted to, you know, it just shows you there are a lot of people who bootleg records and don't bother trying to do it the right way. And you try and do it the right way and you kind of get shot down.
Yeah, so. You do. But in a way, it's so refreshing. I think a label like ECM, the reason it sort of has that,
is because they haven't allowed anyone
to never allowed dilute anyone them. To dilute them. I mean, and also, you know, those sleeves, they've had the same format for however many years and it still works.
Mm.
But I suppose there's only so many sort of Hilliard Ensemble, Jan Garbrek, Keith Jarrett records you can listen to. I suppose they haven't got the kind of depth in terms of variety of music as, say, an MPS or a Saba.
You know, I think I'd probably say that they did. I mean, you know, I mean, you've got things like Julian Priester, Love,
that's
and
true.
You know,
John Sermon,
yeah, and Benny Maupin and stuff like that, and they're unbelievable. And recently, I've really been getting into Egberto Gismonti.
Oh yeah, he did stuff.
I'm
on
so
that.
Into him at the moment.
Yeah.
So there's tons, you know, and
no, there is,
you know, but then you look at the MPS and the Saba, and I suppose if you cut it down, there's only, I don't know, 10 real killers or whatever. You know, there's a lot of interesting records, but the real killers, you can kind of name on two hands. But Yeah, ECM's another story. We could do an ECM. Have you ever done an ECM special on the radio?
No. But I think as Jazz, I just did this thing for Jazz on Free today, which is going to be going out on Monday, actually, about the Havana album that I just came back from Cuba doing, and he was telling me that he's done this interview. So that I don't know when that's going to be coming out, but I'm sure that would be fascinating. I mean, Jez was buzzing about it like that.
He'd sure.
Sort of really, and I think many people have done a great deal, and it was really him that made me think, actually, it must be, in a way, the most successful and long-standing European jazz label, because it's still going strong, and they're still releasing, you know, high-quality music.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's get on with these musics. I mean, that is great, but this is...
What do you want to start with?
Well, let's go George Grunt's. Let's start off with the 7-inch.
Yes.
And you said it was also one of Carl Craig's favourites.
Apparently. Well, this record was given to me by my good friend Cherry Stones, a.k.a. Godsey.
So Cherry Stones is not Gerald Jazzman?
No, Cherry Stones used to work for Gerald Jazzman many years ago.
Right.
I think he released the record on... Gerald's label years and years ago. Well, maybe it was the first release on Gerald's label. He's put out record. He's done compilations for Universal. I think Cherry Stones Rocks. He's done various things. He's released two records on Whatever We Want, the New York label that I did the Quiet Village stuff through. But he's just literally one of my best friends, and he's a real kind of inspiration as far as digging for records goes. And he went to Switzerland a few years ago and gave me this record and said, this is a gift. And by the way, I've heard that Carl Craig is a massive fan of this, and when you hear it, you'll know why.
Great. Okay, so we're going to play the 7-inch, which we're going to we'll get an image and put it up on the on the page, and then we're going to play this track from Stixland with Love, Drums and Folklore on Saba.
Yeah, which is called High Time Keepsakes, which is kind of from the same period. It's George, it's the same crew, George Grunts and Co.
So we were meant to do a Steve Miller Band track this week.
No, we're meant to do a Steve Winwood track. We'll do that next week.
That's right. We'll do that next week. What can I say?
Away with the typewriters.
I can't believe we've spoken for 22 minutes and I play the record at the wrong speed.
Oh, here we go.
But it sounded good. It's a bit like bugging the bass bin when...
It was like bugging the bass bin when Fabian Gruverise used to play it at the wrong speed.
Yeah, it's got a bug in the bass bin kind of flavour. Should we try it at the right speed?
Please. We'll be right back.
That is what we did there is we started off with the jazz version, which doesn't have typewriters on it, but is the predecessor to Bug in the Basement, isn't it?
We forgot. Yeah, it's completely of that ilk, isn't it? It must have been a total inspiration.
Yeah.
For Carl Craig.
And it works at both speeds.
Yeah, it does. It sounds incredible at 33. Yeah.
Did you get two copies of that? That's got to be so rare.
You know what? It's not that rare. Most people don't know about it, but it's the kind of thing you find in Switzerland for like 15 euros.
We're not helping here, are we? By broadcasting it. I mean, what's the chance of me getting one now?
I'll get you one.
You got 24 hours before this goes up on the podcast.
Oh, is it going up in 24 hours? I could phone my man in Zurich.
So that was the two versions, Les Échanges, George Grunt's. We've just been looking at the Freedom Rhythm and Sound book, actually, which I've just seen a copy of. It's finally come in. It's the book that I did with Stuart from Soul Jazz, Stuart Baker, which I'm going to do a special podcast, actually, with him, focusing on some of the music of the sleeves that are illustrated in the book. I'm really pleased with the book. I think it looks quite nice, doesn't it? It
looks amazing. Yeah. There's loads of things in there I've never seen in my life.
I'm really
before.
Pleased they've made it hardback, because it's like the difference between an NPS and a Saba, isn't it?
I would say.
It's the Saba edition. It will get re-released on sort of Saturn, on another sort of the new Soul Jazz subsidiary, which would not be Saturn, because that wouldn't go down very well with... The orchestra, who are playing at Cafe Otto, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's 2 minutes away from my doorstep.
Yeah. So, and we're going to be doing a book launch at Cafe Otto in November, I think, some date then. And that's working. And Steve Reed's going to perform as well that night. So, and some of his artwork's in the book as well, which is great. Okay, so let's play the other track. Thanks a lot for coming in.
My pleasure.
Always good. We're going to do... I think we'll do Stevie Winwood next time.
We shall.
Yeah, because you say it's a killer, and I can't wait to hear it. Okay, here's the other one. This is the one on Saba.
High Time Promises?
Yeah, let's go.
George Runt.
Nice.
Modal Classic.